Welcome to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew, as usual. Today is your Friday edition of Week in Review, where I normally pick 3 to 4 stories I found interesting, and hopefully you found interesting as well. But today will be a little spicy, in which I invited one of my best friends from high school to bring stories he found interesting as well. He leans to the left, so you can expect a good back and forth as we give our inputs with each other's stories. That said, there's going to be conversations from the sports world with Simone Biles and Russell Westbrook, both citing mental health concerns. Has their response been appropriate? Then we'll look into the CDC's new mask guidelines, along with the Biden administration's threat to push for lockdowns again nationwide and mandatory vaccinations. Are they pushing too far? Lastly, the January 6th Commission in a hearing kicked off at Capitol Hill this week, something I personally have not heard my friends take on, so I look forward to the conversation, but I also look forward to finding common ground in all these subjects. Before I go any further, I do want to remind everyone you can read future newsletters by typing in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com. I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com. To spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. You can follow me on Instagram, typing in Kenjin_Express. I repeat, Kenjin_Express. And then last but not least, you can follow me on Facebook by typing in Taboo Topic. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. This is Taboo Topic, where we dare to question the narrative and think out loud. In order to be able to think, you have to risk being offensive. Stay tuned. After this break, it's going to be a great show for you. Welcome back, Matt.
Hey, I can actually hear you this time.
Not bad. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good. Came off fresh from listening to that comedian, J.P. Sears. Really good time last night.
Oh yeah, that's the guy that you sent me his manstructions for, right?
Yep, manscripts.
Yeah, the manscripts. Yep. God, I gotta tell you, my girlfriend and my mom were so offended by that, but I thought it was hilarious. So, worth it.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, they were so offended. They were like, "If you ever say any of these things to me, I swear." I don't remember what I said, but I said something super sarcastic along the lines of what he said. I was like, "I would never say something like this to you. You are but a beautiful flower." And I just like went on and on.
Oh my gosh. Perfect. Totally worth it then. Totally worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Welcome to Taboo Topic, ladies and gentlemen. This is my friend Matt Cartland. And before we get any further, I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce yourself to my little audience, Matt.
Hi, my name is Matt and I like to party. Just kidding. Hot rod. Come on, man. Classic. I'm a high school teacher in Florida. I am pretty, liberal. I have almost nothing in common with Ken, but, we're best friends, you know, when Ken was, in high school, through his, living situation, he had to come actually live with me and my mom for a few years. So, you know, the two of us really consider each other family, and it's my brother. So if I say anything stupid, it runs in the family because Ken says stupid stuff all the time. So,
I mean, I'm pretty sure the artist got a little hint of that with the bad scripts. So,
yeah, facts. You ain't.
So. Yep. All right. So this is how we normally do it, Matt. When I say we, I mean I, because it's normally just me, myself, and I talking in here. What I'll do is I'll go over like the actual current event first and just kind of give like a non-biased point of view as far as, you know, this is what's going on. And then I'll give my reaction to the story. And then, except this time, you'll also be reacted to my story and vice versa.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. I think I can handle that. Hey, I actually, I have a thought as well. I have a game I want to play with you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So here's the game. I want us to take whatever the current event is. And I want us to type it into Google or Yahoo or whatever the search browser that you use is. I want us to take it, search for the current event, and see what the top headlines say. Because I'm curious, because we're going to have very different point of views on all of these things. I want to see how my algorithms link me to stories versus how your algorithms link you to stories, and to see if,
How much they've been collecting our data?
yeah, exactly. I'm genuinely curious because, we're both reading the same information for the most part. We're both getting the same current events, but we will always come to these like completely different point of views. So I'm curious how much of it is media manipulation and how much of it is actually just our genuine point of view. Okay.
Not fair enough. All right, so let's start off with the sports world. You and I both have something to talk about in the sports world. I'll go ahead and go in first, talk about Simone Biles. She is considered one of the greatest Olympians, as she's won 14 medals in total, 10 being in gold. She was on track to win 6 gold medals during the games, which that would have been the, she would have been the first woman since 1968 to win back-to-back titles in the all-around. A competition that tests the individual on four apprentices. Do I know what four apprentices mean? Absolutely not.
Ken, I'm pretty sure that's apparatuses.
Apparatuses. Okay, I still don't know what that means. But
Oh,
anyways.
no, so like the all-around competition, I think is like the I think it's the rings, I think it's the bars. Man, I don't remember. I think it's the saddle back, the horse thing, not the horse thing. It's the one that you run and you vault yourself over the th I don't know. I don't know. I know nothing about Olympics, but anyways, go on.
Fair enough. You definitely know more than I do, apparently. But anyways,
Apparently, yeah.
yeah. She left after the first vault, which she didn't do so hot. And after some medical evaluation, she dropped out of the all-around individual final. Then she dropped out from the all-around competition altogether, I heard. I'm not entirely positive on that. But regardless, she was citing mental health concerns. And you have two very different responses, and I'll start off with my circle in particular because obviously I am on the conservative side, which they've been calling her out, citing she's being selfish, quitting on her team. I've heard a lot of strongman arguments. Like I remember Jason Whitlock was talking about how Terrell Davis was having a migraine so bad during the Super Bowl that he couldn't see, and he used that as an example of someone pushing through his mental or physical imperatives, whatever. And then, in response, she said this, and Simone, obviously not immune to criticism. I'm sure she definitely heard these criticisms for in a press conference. She said, "For anyone saying I quit, I didn't quit. My mind and body are not simply in sync. I don't think you realize how dangerous this is on hard slash competition surface. Nor do I have to explain why I put my health first. Physical health is mental health," which conservatives also pointed out that if she was having these issues, why didn't she say something before leaving? And that she screwed over somebody else would have loved to be there. To which she also responded with, "It randomly started happening after prelims competition to or prelims competition the very next morning, and by that time she had no alternative, was allowed to be placed in her position for all of us know-it-alls out there." Now, Matt, typically I'm a little bit more critical of athletes, well, at least more, actually it's really towards LeBron James, and I know you like to
Oh, goodness gracious.
I like to go after your boy LeBron James, but anyways.
Give the man a break. Come on.
Nor do I disagree with my conservative circles typically, but on this one, I'm gonna have to break away from them on this one because at least with the pundits, and I say the pundits, the conservative influencers, whatever, because when I go through the comments, whenever they post something, the majority of the comments are actually calling them out, and for lack of a better term, they're being obtuse in their response to her dropping out of the competition.
What do you mean by there being obtuse? What's your thinking on that? What's your definition?
So I'll get to that in just a moment. I kind of get into a little bit as far as my why I think they're being obtuse. Because, yeah, the whole situation about her, and this is kind of like my response, I guess, to their criticisms, is that mental health is not a black and white issue, and they're treating it as such. People deal with mental health differently. It comes and it goes, and people have different triggers that gets them into that season. With Simone Biles, I've heard some stories or theories that she couldn't take her ADHD medication, which, if that's true, and she's been on it for years, I could see how it would make her a liability on the mat versus staying in. But I also saw that the judges were already screwing her. Apparently, she couldn't do certain routines because it was an unfair advantage to other competitors. I saw that on, and I saw a Facebook post, and they used this analogy, and I think it's a pretty interesting analogy, and I think it's a fair analogy as well. It stated, "What if the NFL Tom Brady, his touchdown passes will be only worth 4 points because he was too good, or the NBA gave MJ 1 point instead of two because he scores much better than the other players?" So I thought, if that's, if these judges are actually doing that to her, then I could see how that would be a mental barrier as well. And they're very, and they're also, they're being obtuse in a sense, they're not actually, they're just quick to throw her under the bus, but won't call out the BS on her behalf. So honestly, if Simone, by one in a 100 millionth chance, listens to what I'm saying, like, Simone, the hell with them. You've done your country proud with your medals, and if you think it's best for the team, then that's not being selfish. Just saying. What's your take on it?
Well, okay, so I didn't know about the ADHD med thing, and I'm looking it up, and yeah, apparently a lot of the common ADHD medication is banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency, which I had no idea. I mean, that's crazy. So like and the other thing too is a lot of that ADHD medication is very addictive, like the Adderall, oh, I can't think of the other names of them, but they're basically amphetamines. You get hooked on them. So when you lose the ability to have something that you've just had as like a normal part of your life for so long, like, dude, that's gotta mess with your psyche for sure, 100%. So that makes sense to me. I don't know how much truth is behind that story, but I saw a couple things on Facebook, which I don't go on Facebook often, but I saw them and I thought they were so funny. I wanted to share them with you. One was this guy talking about how the US only won a silver medal for skateboarding. Oh no, I'm sorry, it was a bronze medal for skateboarding. And this guy's like, dude, I can't believe we only got bronze. Like, this is truly a society in decline. And someone commented on it and was like, yeah, that's what happens when you only send the skateboarders who don't do drugs. I died laughing. I was like, man, that's a really fair point, actually. But the oh, what was the other thing? I don't remember what else I was gonna say, but yeah, I agree, man. Like, she's gonna go down one way or another as one of the greatest Olympians of all time, and she's gonna be right up there with the Phelps and the Bolts and all these other people that just dominated their competition in a way that no one's ever seen before. So, to hell with them. Oh, I remember the other thing I was gonna share too. Just to like point out exactly how like cynical people are being, because for people that aren't on social media very often, they might not see this. But I saw something today where Mitt Romney put up a post that said, "To all of our great Olympians, we thank you. To Simone Biles, keep doing what you're doing. Make sure you put your health first." And someone commented on his post and said, "Wow, no surprise that you would support a quitter." And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe someone would take that so to heart and like would be so cynical and nasty towards someone. Like, the Olympics is a time of celebration and a time for you to support your country and to, support these athletes that have been grinding for the last 4 years trying to make it to this point. And you're going to be that nasty and you're going to be that disgusting and disrespectful to someone. Like, dude, it's her decision and it's her health. And the other thing too is the fact that like she said, like, what she's doing is very dangerous, you know? If
Yeah.
you're trying to do like a triple front flip or something and you
With
only
all
go
those
two,
bars.
yeah, and if you only go 2.5 ways around, then you're landing on your neck and you could break something and be paralyzed for the rest of your life, you know? So, like, if her head was not in the game and she was not able to focus and she was not able to mentally be in the place where she needed to be, then yeah, it's probably for the best that she didn't go out there and have a, you know, potentially harmful experience.
Yeah, I'm reminded of like when I was going, before I would go to work, they would always ask us if anyone is not mentally fit to go to work today, let us know. And we carry guns, we used to carry guns for our job, so it was very important for us if we're going to go out and protect and serve, at least within the confines of our little, jurisdiction, that we were actually mentally there and that we weren't a liability. And if she's having mental issues, then she's a liability to not only herself and her health, but also to the team. Like, she'd be more of a detriment to her team at that point if she can't fully function to help her team get gold. So I like what Dan Crenshaw said as well, as far as, Simone Biles has been making America and Houston proud for years. She's been a woman in the arena, a place the internet trolls know nothing about. Which, and he also said, we can be disappointed in her decision, but until you're the one stepping up to win gold, maybe sit this one out. Which I think it's fair, as far as you can be disappointed, like, man, like, I really wish she was, I wish she was competing, but you can also respect her decision as well. I think you can do both in that sense, but I think the disappointment is more or less just being trolls and jerks online at this point.
Yeah, I think well, for anyone who's listening who reads Ken's blog, I was a guest writer in June, and I talked a lot about social media, but where I was pulling all of my information from was from the sports world, because that's what I really follow and that's what I pay attention to. You know, I can only take so much politics before I'm just sick of it and I just don't want to listen anymore. But I think, like, we all have our separate interests. And for me, my interest for the most part is sports and following sports. And I think we can find so much about our culture and our society from whatever our vested interest is. So for me, looking at sports, I talked about how social media has just taken all of these like sacred relationships that we had with athletes, where we like they were beloved and like they get paid all this money and so on and so forth. And it's turned it into this like hypercritical place of just negativity and disgust. And I think we really have to have a conversation as a society about how we treat athletes and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and how we view them. Like, Simone is giving us entertainment and joy and pride for our country. If she has to step away, that's okay, because you know what happened? We still won the gold in the all-around event. We had a different American step up and win it. So,
Yeah. And
it's
she even
just.
brought that up too. Like, there's four other competitors for a reason.
Yeah,
It's a
exactly.
team.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that she knows whose opinions really matter and she knows whose opinions really count. And people can be trolls on the internet all they want and they can be negative and disgusting, but at the end of the day, it's like people are only going to listen so much to that negativity. And I hope as a society we grow and we come to realize that, you just can't we can't say these kind of things to people and about people without having negative consequence. So
And not without at least getting some context as far as like why like someone Simone Biles is making the decision she's making, like the ADHD medication and the judging score, in which I don't know how you feel about that as far as the judges scoring her unfairly.
I mean, gymnastics is different, like we have to take every sport into context when things happen, but gymnastics is different. I don't think it's right that they score her differently, right? She's doing things that have never been done in international competition before, but that doesn't mean that if she does something less than that, then it should be worth less points than if someone else does the same vault or the same stunt, So yeah, I think that's definitely, that's, insensitive. And when you're judging things like that, it has to be done scaled and it has to be done reasonably and, you know, with a fit rubric, basically. You know, you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to add up to this many points. So.
Yeah, I think it's wrong. I just it's like, you know, you want the best competitors out there, and if she just happens to be that much better than everybody else, then too bad for everybody else. She's just that much better than you know?
Yeah, if anything, her being as good as she is should set the bar higher, and it should make everyone else's scores drop lower, not her score dropping lower, so that it evens out the playing field. Like that's not,
Yeah.
yeah. They, you know,
It's
you see sports do this though. Like, man, I can't remember what the pitcher was, but in the MLB in the 80s, there's a pitcher who was like 6'8" or something, just a monster of a man, and you know, he would have such long reach and such command with his fastball that the MLB actually moved the pitcher's mound back 4 or 5 feet just so that this one player wasn't quite as dominant. And it made everybody else struggle more, you know? Like, you can't try to penalize one person to fix a sport when all you're going to do is penalize everyone altogether, you know?
Did it last?
Yeah, it did. And you know, actually now the MLB's been talking about with the I don't know how much you know, but like the number of
Strikeouts this
strikeouts
year, yeah.
and the
And they're
number
talking
of
about moving the pitcher's mound again.
and the number of home runs too. It's like feast or famine. You know, the MLB wants to get back to the days of, you know, more contact, more small ball, like the fun baseball that we like to actually watch instead of just strikeout or home run every time. So yeah,
Yeah.
and they're talking about moving it back again, but it's because of an overall trend this time instead of an individual trend. So I think that would be fine. I'd have no issue with it, but we'll see.
Yeah, but then it goes well, then it goes back to, not to get too off track, but it goes back to coaching, the batting coaching. Like, what are they telling these hitters to do? Are they trying to tell them just go ahead and try to hit bombers all the time
Yeah.
instead of just playing the field? Like, if you see the infield shift or outfield shift in a certain direction, then that is your advantage to take the ball the other direction and just focus on just getting a hit, make contact instead of just hitting it out of the ball. So I think it's also on the coaching staff of the MLB, not to get too
Yeah.
off track. So, all
But
right,
yeah.
that's Simone Biles. Let's go ahead and get into your story with Russell Westbrook.
Okay, so yeah, like I know that I've seen some of the polls you do about sports, and I know a lot of your listeners aren't big NBA people. So this story is more geared towards what we were just talking about with the way that we treat athletes, but just a little anecdote I wanted to share. So if you're not a sports person, yesterday, which dude, I don't even know what day it is, honestly. It's today the
Today's the 30th.
30th. Okay, so if you look back, the 29th of July was an absolutely bonkers day for sports. You know, the NHL expansion draft just happened. And so a lot of players were moving around from that. Free agency just opened for the NHL. The MLB trade deadline is coming around. I mean, I'm a Again, Florida boy, you know, so I followed the Lightning, I followed the Rays. The Rays dished 3 or 4 players yesterday. The Lightning have signed 5 players in their first day of the free agency period, and they traded away another 3, like just madness. And so I'm talking to my girlfriend at dinner yesterday. And you know, we were having a conversation, kind of hit a l low point, like being got quiet for a second. I looked at my phone and I reacted to a trade. It was Diego Castillo getting traded from the Rays. We're getting another relief pitcher for some reason. And so I reacted to it, and my girlfriend's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "Oh, no, nothing's wrong. I'm just really surprised by this trade." And she had this comment of like, "Why is it okay for sports teams to treat players like commodities and trade them away willy-nilly and like not treat them as people?" And I never really sat down and thought about it because, like, you know, we've all played video games since we were a kid, and we'd like sit and try to figure out the best trades for the teams and the video games, and like we saw them as these like entities and not necessarily as people, you know, they're assets. And I thought that was a really interesting point of like, yeah, why are we allowed to just like trade people like they're commodities instead of trading them like humans and asking, "Hey, do you want to go? Like, it doesn't feel like you're fitting here." You know, it's just it's so weird to me the way that we treat athletes. And I thought that was just interesting.
Now, I think it depends on what league you're looking into. If you're talking about the MLB or NFL even, I think they have less of a say when it comes to trade, but I think the NBA they have more of a say. I know in particular the NBA has definitely been more player friendly as far as if you want to get out of there, chances are you're going to get out of there, and whatever destination you want to go to, you have a pretty good chance. I'm not sure about the MLB, but I know the NFL, they really, that's definitely more owner friendly, and they don't really care what you have to say.
Yeah, I mean, heck, look at Aaron Rodgers and what he's been
Oh
doing this
yeah,
year.
I saw the, did you see the press conference with Aaron Rodgers?
I didn't watch the press conference, but I read through some of the cliff notes of the things he was talking about and how the management is just like so disrespectful and mistreats the veterans and dishes them out for nothing and all these other things. Yeah, but you could probably fill me in on that. What happened?
I mean, yeah, basically Aaron Rodgers was the reason why he wanted to get out of there was his voice was not, he felt he wasn't being valued with his input, and he wanted to help the organization to not make the same mistakes they did with other players that he thought were high in character, his words. And what you may call it. And then at one point, so everyone was shocked by the draft of a couple years ago when Green Bay drafted a quarterback in the first round. But the thing is, apparently Aaron Rodgers knew that was coming, and he was trying to tell the organization, saying, listen, if you're going to go in a different direction, then why not just trade me, get me out of here, and make that transition right now? And they kind of basically played back and forth with the whole, kind of like that one person, that one girl or boy that kind of goes back and forth with going, oh, I want to be with you. Oh, I don't want to be with you. Ah! It's basically, that was basically what was going on between Green Bay, the organization, and how they're treating Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is like, I want to be here, but everything you're doing right now tells me otherwise, and you keep contradicting yourself. And he basically called them out on a press conference, knowing they weren't going to do jack shit to him.
Yeah, I looked it up. I'm reading New York Times right now, looking at it. But my thing with it is like, if the draft decision, if picking up a quarterback was that big of a thing to him, like think about how many years he sat behind Brett Favre over and over again, not getting his chance to play. You know, like I feel like it's kind of expected in the NFL at the high skill positions like quarterback to where you're probably not going to go out and start right away. You know, like you probably got some other guys ahead of you that have more talent, you know, have more to offer at the team. And I just feel like it's an overreaction for sure. But yeah, you know, if the man's not feeling valued and the man feels like he can do better somewhere else, like I'm all about players' rights, you know, like he should be able to sit and say what he wants and get out of that situation. But again, like, you know, there's got to be some people in Green Bay that are livid right now. And I don't get any Green Bay news. I don't see any of the Facebook posts from Green Bay, but I'm sure there are people in Green Bay right now tearing him apart, chewing him up, just because, you know, like they view him as property of the Packers and they feel like he belongs to this team because he signed a contract and he doesn't have say in his life and what happens now. So it's just.
Well, one thing to kind of give into context, what you said about Aaron Rodgers when he was sitting behind Brett Favre, that was also in the era when rookies could get paid millions and have like these record-breaking contracts, 7, 8 year deals. And now rookies are on a shorter time span. You have basically 5 years. The fifth year is just optional if you want to keep the rookie or not that you drafted. So, in a sense, the backup quarterback doesn't have as much time. And so if you really want to know if this quarterback is something you want to keep for the long run, you might as well put him in there sooner rather than later. To kind of give into context. So I don't know. I guess for me, I definitely would be in a situation. I don't think it's an overreaction, personally. I think it's a fair reaction considering the environment we're in as far as, like I said, the rookies now, they basically, you have 4 years to prove yourself. Otherwise, you get the boot. And the less time you have, or the more time you have sitting on the bench, the less time you have a chance to prove yourself. With that said, I mean, Patrick Mahomes did pretty well for himself. He sat behind Alex Smith for 1 year, and now he's gone to 2 Super Bowls and 1 MVP. So I guess it's kind of a base, case-by-case basis, but I don't
yeah.
know. Yeah, I don't know. I would definitely say the – at least when it comes to the NFL, especially with how they're treating players with the basically ultimatum with the vaccinations, which we'll actually get into that a little later in mm-hmm. this show. But, yeah, it kind of does show you, like, they kind of treat them just as more or less property, you know, like just commodities yep. for their yep. own entertainment.
Yeah, man, it's weird. It's so weird. So, yeah, it's just like I think if I want someone listening to this podcast right now to get something from me, it would just be, you know, when you're posting things on social media and when you're talking to other people, like, you just got to remember, man, that they're people, you know? Like, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are going to disagree with 97% of the things I say about politics, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm just a person. I'm just someone with an opinion, you know? We can disagree, we can have arguments, and we can talk about things, but, you know, the whole purpose of having an argument is to try to come to some sort of agreement or to have a friendly conclusion that there will be no agreement, you know? Like, it's the old adage everyone always says is, you know, you attract more flies with honey instead of vinegar. So people just gotta, you know, stop being so negative. View these players as players like they are, you know, and not as commodities. And I think we have a much more positive experience on social media.
Yeah. Just remember to also look into the context of certain situations before jumping into any conclusions as well, especially with Simone Biles, how a lot of people just jump into conclusions why she chose to sit out, and that not everything is black and white. There's people and human beings are complicated for mm-hmm. sure. So with that said, everyone, that'll do it for this particular segment. We're going to go for a short break. Stay tuned. We'll get into the CDC's COVID guidelines right after this break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, as usual, and this is my friend, Matt C. Welcome back, Matt.
Thanks, buddy. I had a really enjoyable time in the urinal.
Good to know. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, let's go ahead and get started, shall we, with the CDC guidelines, with the gosh, it's not really anything new. They're just being recycled. But there's some new parts, aspects, when it comes to the fully vaccinated. And I'll just read straight from their website. Fully vaccinated people might choose to mask regardless of level of transmission, particularly if they or someone in their household is immune compromised or at increased risk for severe disease, or if someone in their household is unvaccinated. People who are at increased risk for severe disease include older adults and those who have certain medical conditions such as diabetes, overweight, or obesity, and have heart conditions. Matt, they also have new guidelines regarding schools, so mm-hmm. I'll leave that part to you.
Oh, you're going to have to inform me, dude, because I don't live in the rest of the country. I live in Florida. We're our own country. We do everything different.
Well, basically, more or less, they also want students to be wearing masks regardless of their vaccination status, which you may call it. And you can get into like what's going on in Florida, at least back at our old high school where you're teaching at now. But I do also want to mention that the press secretary for Joe Biden suggested lockdowns may be needed again as a result of the unvaccinated, along with mandating everyone to get vaccinated. Now, personally, at this point, now this is just my opinion here, everyone, don't take this to heart. All right, don't be offended. But I think we have to treat COVID like the flu at this point.
I'm hot. I am triggered right now. You didn't even give me a trigger warning or anything, Ken. Come on.
This is the new flu. Before last year, roughly 20,000 died yearly. Yet there's never a hysteria to shut everything down, demanded and shaming those who don't get vaccinated for the flu. And the flu, contrary to COVID, it's not as picky when it comes to its victims. Anybody can get it. But COVID, they seem to go after like the older generation and the unhealthier people, pre-existing conditions or with like weight problems. And I know the argument when it comes to how the Delta variant came along, it's the result of the unvaccinated and not getting vaccinated, and so this allowed the virus to continue and create this new strain. But I could go back to the flu, how its creator would also overload the system, but you don't hear these experts demanding the government to step in to have lockdowns with the, and create mask mandates and force a vaccination with the flu. I don't know, man. I'm just over the hysteria and the self-righteous attitude. If you want to wear a mask, cool. If you don't, cool. If you want to be vaccinated, that's your decision. I'll support you even if you choose not to. But the lockdowns, and I know you're not actually in agreement when it comes to lockdowns. If I remember correctly, you're not necessarily pro-lockdowns.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah. And people, and that's another thing too, like with the lockdowns, these are coming from people who actually have jobs and are not being told to lose money, possibly their livelihoods. It's like the hell with them. And I will also point out, how can they command us to take something that hasn't been FDA approved yet? Why are they so adamant about people taking a vaccine that hasn't been FDA approved? If you want to gain people's trust, wouldn't you go to the FDA and seek them to get this approval as soon as possible to get more of people's trust? It seems sketchy to me. Now, I know you have a different take when it comes to mask and mandates, the mask mandates, especially the vaccines. I know you've been vaccinated for COVID.
Yeah, I'm vaccinated.
Yeah, you're vaccinated. And I'll let you take the floor a little bit on this and kind of get into the school aspect as well.
Well, I think schools are a different story altogether when it comes to what's right and wrong. 'Cause there's a lot of different factors at play with, I'll hold off on this for a second, but I'll skip
Okay.
to. I want people to understand where I come from and what my point of view is first before they hear me. And again,
Yeah.
if you didn't listen to the first half of this, I'm very liberal. I voted for Biden, if you're curious, absolutely. I would again today if you asked me. That's just where I am. So, in Florida, very conservative. We've got DeSantis that a lot of people seem to really love. And I'm not even really against them. I think that DeSantis, looking back on it, has done a fantastic job with handling COVID and, handling lockdown mandates and making sure that people still have a job to go to every day, so on and so forth. But that being said, lockdowns have showed to not necessarily be super effective. I think a really underrated part of our health, not just mentally, but physically, is being outside, getting sunshine, getting exercise, the number one killer when it comes to people who get COVID, the people who are dying are not just the elderly, but it's the obese and it's the diabetics and it's the people that are not taking care of themselves physically. Those are the people that are truly hurt. I think even better than a vaccine is to be active and to, not be locked inside your house and to be, out and about getting exercise, getting sunshine. I think that's the number one thing to help us as a society.
I have to
But
admit, I was not expecting that coming from you.
no, it's true though. But that
Yeah.
being said, that doesn't mean that it's all or nothing. Again, this isn't a black and white thing. This is something where we need to kind of look at both sides of the science and come to a conclusion. What I mean by that is wearing a mask is not stopping you from doing your job effectively. And if it is, because there are certain jobs where you honestly cannot do them effectively with a mask on, then yeah, you need to be at work, you need to be working, you need to be working safely. And if that means taking your mask off, then it is what it is. But someone like me who's a teacher, I didn't enjoy wearing a mask every day last year. I didn't think it was fun to have to tell kids, "Hey, pull your mask back up, please." It was not enjoyable in the slightest. It was kind of a pain in the butt. But that being said, it didn't hurt me. It didn't make me less effective at communicating with my students. It didn't make me a worse teacher because I have a mask on. And I think that people who are saying, like, I can't stock shelves at a grocery store with a mask on are kind of being selfish. And, unless they have something that is medically, that is hurting them medically because they have a mask on, then I think they really need to take a step back and look at, like, masks are effective. That's what we've learned for the most part. They're not 100% effective. If you're still getting within 6 feet of people, a mask is only going to do so much to stop it. But if you're social distancing and you're putting a mask on and you're doing all these basic safety precautions, then, it's shown to keep numbers down and it's shown to keep numbers lower. So, I would just say, like, we should not be going back into lockdowns. Absolutely not. It's not helpful. But if people are choosing not to get vaccinated and people are making that choice, it's not just hurting them, it's hurting other people around them. So we need to come together as society and decide what's best for everyone. And I think what's best for everyone is to do the small things. Put a mask on when you go around other people if you're not vaccinated, or even if you are vaccinated, honestly. Because we just learned, what, last week that people who are vaccinated actually carry more of the virus than we originally thought, and they're acting as super spreaders, right? So it's important that we're still taking care of ourselves. If people are choosing not to get vaccinated, then we need to step in and we need to mandate masks. And we need to ask people to keep their mask on when it's appropriate, when they're in close contact, when they're around strangers or people that they don't know. I think that's just the right thing to do, you know?
Now, do you think it's a government's place to force these mandates?
I mean, I think it depends on how forceful the mandate is. Like, laws are written into place, but that doesn't mean laws are followed, I think it comes down to local law enforcement to actually effectively mandate them and to actually enforce them. I would say that if you have a pandemic that is overloading hospitals and making it so that people can't get basic operations because it's too dangerous for them, then yeah, as a government, you should probably step in and try to protect the vulnerable and protect the weak and try to help people. If the society is functioning properly and there's space in the hospitals and things are running smoothly, then no, you shouldn't be forcing people to wear masks for no reason. But like, you remember Alec from high school? I just had a conversation with him. He's a med student right now. He's in his clinicals, and he said that his hospital is getting packed pretty quickly right now. And if you ask and you look at the numbers, 92 to 98% of the people that are in his hospital taking up beds with COVID are unvaccinated people. And so, if people are choosing not to get the vaccine, I understand that choice. I don't agree, but I understand what the choice is. But that means that we still have to do something to protect people who are immunocompromised and protect people who are elderly and overweight and do the small things that we can to help them.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting you brought up Alec, because obviously we both have our friends in the medical world, in the healthcare field, and it seems like even in the healthcare world, they're pretty divided about, how to go about mask mandates and the effectiveness of masks. Which you said a moment ago that you think masks are very effective, but I don't think they're very effective. And even Dr. Fauci, despite has gone back and forth saying, well, they're not effective, they are effective, double masking makes no sense. Oh, it makes total sense to double mask. And so I guess a part of it also is just like the lack of trust from these officials that are telling us this information and really pushing the panic button when it comes to COVID in general. Because I just mentioned a moment ago, like, before COVID, we had the flu season, and that would also overload our system. But there was never a hysteria. And unlike COVID, I mean, the flu doesn't discriminate really when it comes to its victims. They will go after anybody, and it's killed more people as well.
Well,
So.
I think the difference is, though, is the fact that, like, most people don't end up in the hospital from the flu, right? And I'm not saying most people do end up from the hospital from COVID, but it's a significantly larger number that's ending up in the hospital being intubated. And I mean, we're talking like 20, 30-year-olds are ending up in the hospital with tubes down their neck, You know, like it's not that it doesn't discriminate, but it doesn't really discriminate against who needs medical attention from it either, you know?
Right. But I'll also kind of go back to my argument when it comes to if you feel that unprotected with the unvaccinated, then why don't, then at that point, it's really your decision as far as if you want to wear a mask everywhere. If you think it's that effective, then why should my decision not to wear a mask impact your decision to wear a mask? If your mask is going to protect me, the unvaccinated, from you, and especially if you are vaccinated, then why do you care that I don't wear a mask so much? Why am I being selfish at that point?
Yeah, I hear you. But you know, I just think that there are people in this world that, well, I think we need to go back to this too. Like, a liberal ideology is an ideology that is meant to look after everyone, right? You're trying to take care of the smallest, weakest individuals in a country where a lot more of the conservative ideology is survival of the fittest, right? You know, let society function the way it should, and those who are too weak are going to fall out. That's basically what it comes down to with masks. So, the way I look at it is that if wearing a mask is going to help that one extra person that doesn't have a sufficient immune system, or it's going to help that one person from not giving COVID to their grandmother who could potentially die from it, then yeah, like I don't mind putting on a mask, you know? But people look at a mask as this like evil liberal construct to control you. And it's like, that's not what the purpose is for. The purpose of a mask is to just try to do our part to help society function normally. And it's gotten so politicized to where it's like, that's not what people even view a mask as anymore. They view it as this, they view it as liberals controlling them and the government trying to take over what's right and wrong. And it's just, you know, it's gotten so misconstrued, in my opinion.
Well, I definitely agree with you that it's been politicized way too much. I mean, I think I was the first person that told you, or at least brought up the idea that the virus came from a lab at the very least. And at that time, you thought I was crazy, but.
Well, no, I didn't think you were crazy. What I thought was that like it's very possible that it came from a lab, but I didn't think that China made the virus to harm the entire world purposefully. I thought it was possible that it came from a lab, but I didn't think that like I don't maybe if someone could explain it to me in a better way, and I could understand what motivations China would have to infecting the entire world with a virus like this, and maybe I could buy into that theory a little bit more. But
And that can give, and that could be another conversation for another day. I can give you like why I think it was on purpose. I don't have, I don't, and I always tell this to my audience when I don't have like direct evidence. Like, this is completely speculation. So I have my speculations. I don't have direct evidence that China is, their intent of creating the virus was to kill, you know, millions of people around the world. But I have my speculations. But, anyways, not to get too off track, I mean, what you may call it. I don't know. I'm for medical freedom, pro freedom. And I think just the idea that people just don't want this authoritarian mindset where if one, you know, the whole weakest link aspect, if the weakest link can't survive, then everybody has to abide by it to protect that weakest link. I mean, I guess, yeah, I just don't agree with that mindset personally. I don't, if you really want to get vaccinated, if you feel like that's going to help you protect yourself, then get vaccinated. If you want to wear a mask, then it shouldn't matter if people decide to wear a mask or not, or if they choose to get vaccinated or not, because based on your worldview, you think that the steps you've taken actually protect you from getting sick. And I know there's studies out there that suggest that, you know, those who are vaccinated are actually more contagious because they have more of the COVID, what was it you said?
They have more particles of the virus in their system.
Yeah, but I was listening to a doctor yesterday actually, and I will say this, and I think you and I can agree on this note, is that getting the vaccine and getting sick from the vaccine is a lot better than actually getting sick from COVID being unvaccinated.
Yes, 100%.
We can agree on that at the very least.
Yes.
Um,
Yeah.
go ahead.
Okay, so I have an ethical question for you then.
Go
Okay.
ahead.
Do you think that children with mental handicaps should be in their own separate classrooms, or do you think that they should be in the same class as everyone else?
I feel like it depends on severity. I know there's some highly functional. I talk about autism, right?
Yeah, I'm not talking about high functioning autism. I'm talking people with mental handicaps. It's
Then yeah,
hurting
I
them.
th then yeah, I think. What do you mean, mentally handicapped? Like they're not talking about high functional autism, right?
Again, they have a handicap that makes them less efficient at typical learning. Doesn't matter what it is, they are less efficient. Do you think they deserve to have their own classroom with their own teacher, or do you think they should be in the same class as everyone else?
I think they should have their own classroom for their own teacher that helps them learn at their own pace.
Okay, but if they're holding everyone back, right, and they can't keep up with everyone else, why do we have to cater to them? Why do we have to give them special treatment? Why do we have to pay more money to have one teacher teach five kids when we could put them in the class with 30 kids?
I think it's a matter of the. Because I would agree that as far as like it would not be fair if myself was being held back as a result of, this one section of the population not being able to learn the capacity that I'm capable of. And as long, so I think as long as the people who can advance at a regular pace can move without being held back as a result of that population, I mean, I have no issue with the mentally handicapped having their own classroom so they can go at their own pace. Just don't
Yeah, but
expect the rest of the people that are not mentally handicapped to abide by their pace.
everyone else now has to pay extra money for schools. We already have a teacher shortage, meaning that kids get less quality teachers. There's a lot of other negatives that come with it. So, I feel
And that
like
goes into another conversation as far as like what's the role of public schools in our society.
well, I'm just trying to make this link for you because it's like we already take these steps as a society to help protect people who are handicapped and to protect people that are at a disadvantage naturally. By paying extra money and by the government stepping in, we're able to help these kids that wouldn't have a fair education. So why is it not the government's role to step in and to make sure that everyone can stay healthy and safe in society? That's the that's what I'm trying to tie back into here. For the record, I do not believe that mentally handicapped students should be in the same classroom as everyone else. They need their own attention. Okay, I want to make that very clear.
I figured that part.
Want to make that very clear. But it's like, as a society, we already do these very normal things for a government to help everyone be more successful and help everyone be healthy and safe. So it's like wearing a mask is not directly hurting you. Like wearing a mask is not harming you. And if it is, then we can obviously make exceptions. But like asking the government to have a mask mandate, I think is a positive thing that can help society function more normally. And that's if we're choosing not to be vaccinated.
But then I can also ask you, like, is having someone not wearing a mask hurting you?
I am vaccinated, so not necessarily, but I can still get sick from it. It could still potentially hurt me. I've chosen and I've taken the step to try to limit that and to make myself as healthy as possible. But I can still get sick. I won't end up in the hospital. I won't end up intubated, but I can still get sick and I can still spread it even more to other people, So, yes and no.
All right. Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on obviously, but we did find some common ground in this conversation as well. And I think that's the most important thing is just finding that common ground so we could start moving in the right direction and stop getting so polarized over every little issue.
Yeah.
So
And I
that'll
think
lead it. Go
that's
ahead.
some that, yeah, last thing. I think that's something that like I really want to drive home again. Like last section, we just talked about, staying positive and making positive comments and everything and having conversations and not harsh arguments. And, if Ken and I can sit here and talk like this and still like be brothers at the end of it and go play video games all night tonight, like you guys can definitely have conversations with your family and with your friends and come to a positive outcome at the end of it.
Yeah, and it really does begin at the family at the end of the day. Like, don't look up to these politicians, don't look up to these pundits or even athletes. Even I know you mentioned that we've been overly critical of athletes, but I'll also say that we put them on a pedestal as well and held them to a ridiculously high standard and forget that they're because how hold them to that high standard, it also makes us forget that they're human and they're capable of making mistakes as well. So, yeah,
All
anything to
right.
add?
Yeah, last word for me. Go get vaccinated, people. I know it's you're right and everything, and you don't want to because it's so experiment. It's not that experimental, guys, okay? There's me, my entire family, and a million other people. When I say a million, I mean more like I don't even know what the numbers are at anymore. Probably
What
close to a
half the country's at least vaccinated, so we'll
yeah,
give you that.
which is what at least 200 million other people that are cases to show that it is safe, it is healthy. There is a very, very small chance of you getting any sort of serious side effects, much smaller chance than if you got COVID. So go get vaccinated.
And I will say it's at the end of the day, it is your choice.
You
So
rebel. Can't believe you.
with that said, we'll be back after this break, guys. And welcome back to Taboo Topic. As usual, I am your host, Ken Drew, and I am with my friend Matt.
Ken, you're like
And
screaming right now. Do you take a chill pill? Deep breaths, Ken. It's all good.
do you have a hangover, Matt? Because I'm barely raising my voice.
It's so funny. You're coming through and you're like, "Welcome back to Taboo Topic." That's what it sounds like. Like,
I have to make it a little bit interesting for my audience to listen to, all right? My voice is naturally monotone, guys. So I have to like make my voice a little bit more entertaining at least.
Oh my gosh, you remember that conversation we had like a few months ago and you were like, "Guys, do I sound monotone?" And I was like my response was, "I cannot compute. I do not speak binary."
I remember that. You and Alex went ham on my own accent.
Oh, good times, man. Good times. Anyways, sorry to cut your intro off. I just thought that was funny. Go ahead, continue.
No, it's fine. Yeah, before I go any further, I do want to remind everyone you could leave a review no matter what platform you're listening to this podcast from. I hope it's a 5-star, but if the show could be worked on and improved upon, by all means, let me know. I want to better serve you. Now, with that said, Matt, we'll get into a conversation that I don't think you and I have actually ever touched on before, and that is really surrounding what happened January 6th. I sent you memes. I know. Let the, draw out the curtains and everything like that. this should be interesting. Yeah, because we never talked about this. I think I sent like a meme or two, and it was like a meme. It was like the guy with the buffalo hat on saying at the Capitol. Saying, oh, 2021 is going to be so much better than 2020. It was such a weird year. And then, like, the meme was like, 6 days
Six
into
days in.
2021. Yeah.
Oh, it cracked me up. Yeah, I do think that was a pretty serious offense, but like, oh my God, the memes from it were hilarious. I don't even remember most of them now, but oh, I just remember dying laughing at them.
Yeah, the memes were hilarious. But we never actually talked about the issue. So let's get into it. So I'll just go ahead and start off. I am curious about your take, but to me, if you listen to my Instagram post, especially because I made an Instagram post, like I think a few days after the event, or I think even the night after the event, like I didn't really care. I know the media and the elite class, they were horrified at the events, but I kind of applauded the disruption to an extent because these are the same people in Congress that have sold us out for generations. And they weren't attacking regular small business owners or trespassing private property. It was stupid at the same time. I do want to say that, like, I did think it was stupid that they actually just, you know, like the guy with the buffalo hat, you know, with the freaking sitting on the, whatchamacallit, the, oh my gosh. Help me out, Matt.
the it's like, oh frick, I can't think of the word either. Oh no, we're so stupid, Ken. The it's like the podium of the House Speaker, the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, the podium of the Speaker of the House, and whatchamacallit. So yeah, like, I thought it was stupid because there's no end goal. They just kind of walked into the buildings, and then it's like, what were you planning on doing exactly? And, you know, that's what happened, contrary to the media hype. That's said. The hearings did take off this week with their commission and Nancy Pelosi leading the way. We had testimonies where police officers cried, and a Republican who was part of this commission also cried and called Trump supporters fascist traitors. So that was just lovely. I know he's probably, in context, he's talking about the supporters on January 6th at Capitol Hill that day. But whatchamacallit. So it kind of goes into the whole, you know, bring the humanity aspect into the conversation, but that was completely taken out. But anyways, not to get too off track, but I thought it was just kind of weird because there's footage of cops literally letting the crowd walk into the building without any resistance. Doesn't mean there wasn't violence, as some windows were shattered and a small business owner from California died as a result of the police when she was climbing over a window. And I don't know. It's a little uneasy for me, at least on this side, in the sense that I actually know my history. And they weren't fascists. You know, they were people that had genuine concerns about the election results. And for the most part, it was peaceful. And you could say the same thing with the Black Lives Matter protests. Like, they're majority peaceful. It was just like at night, you had the, you know, extremists that came out and create all the looting and business, you know, destruction. But these elite keep calling us supporters, you know, at least the people of that day, fascists, the elite politicians and media, big tech, as their stories across the nation. I think this is a purely partisan investigation. And I think it is, because if it was really about accountability, then those rioters from last year, the destruction they created, they, and especially going after regular people's livelihoods, there's no demand or outreach from them and no call for accountability. But as soon as you come after them and their little bubble, then it's a riot and it's then accountability matters.
Yeah, I'm actually, I think I'm going to have a much more rightist conservative viewpoint on all of this than what you probably expect from me.
Oh wow.
For sure. But yeah, but for like I want us to be careful first though, because I think when you actually look back at what's being said and when you look back at, you know, the press conferences with a lot of these elites, you know, a lot of the conservative news sources are trying to rile up anger and frustration, just like the left news sources do as well. It is what it is. But, you know, they're not calling everyone an extremist, and they're not calling everyone that supported Trump a domestic terrorist, right? They are specifically calling these people that broke into this building chanting that they wanted to hang Mike Pence domestic terrorists. And for the most part, I agree with them. You know, I don't think everyone there, I know some really, really great people that were there that day, did not enter the Capitol building, kept their distance, you know, protested politely and peacefully. I saw a bunch of Facebook posts from people on the right that were having an enjoyable time, you know, being respectful, voicing their concerns. So when we're talking about this, I honestly believe with all of my heart that Pelosi and all of them are not calling every single Trump supporter and every single Republican a domestic terrorist and extremist. So I want to make that really clear first. You know, like, I don't want us to feed into the news sources the same way that they try to make you feed into them. I don't want to try to rile you guys up and tell you that I think that you're a terrorist because I don't. You guys listening to this podcast are probably lovely individuals that I would love to talk to one day. So I just step back and clarify that first from my point of view.
I mean, it's kind of hard for me to believe that Nancy Pelosi is not referring to all Trump supporters because they've been basically more or less calling us deplorables and crap like that for like the last 5 years or so.
She's calling Trump deplorable. She's calling
the media has also called. I mean, Hillary called us deplorables. The media has called us, you know, Nazis and white. Especially if you're Hispanic, and we're apparently white. We're white sympathizers. Oh wait, it was like
white supremacists. Yeah, I think that one's really in poor taste. I don't like that one at all. And like,
so it's like for me. So like when you say that, like for me, it's kind of hard to believe. You know, that thought. Like, oh, they're not talking about all Trump supporters. They're just talking about the very small group of people that you know, decided to be stupid and just go into the Capitol through violence. Which even then, for them, there's over 500 people they've arrested now from that event. And I think that's another thing that's kind of concerning for me is a lot of the, I think all of them, they're being detained, but they don't have their constitutional rights are not being taken into consideration whatsoever. They don't have the right to go even talk to a lawyer. It's that bad. And I think, and that's concerning to me.
Well, okay. To be fair, Ken, you showed me the documentary. I can't remember the guy's name anymore, where he was put in jail over petty theft that in the end, it turned out he didn't even do when he got let go. And he was placed in jail for over 2 years before he even got a court hearing over a crime that was so small it could have had a bail set for $300. And instead, this man dies in prison before getting to the courtroom. You know, like, it's not just an issue here. That kind of thing is an issue broadly through a lot of metropolitan United States. So, again, with context, right? It's not that these Trump supporters are being detained and treated that way because they're Trump supporters. They committed a crime and they're being treated the way that every criminal is treated, right?
Well, the thing, then what happens to the whole innocent until proven guilty? These are just allegations. And
then why do we lock up people and arrest people on the scene of the crime before we know if it's them? Like, why do we do that then?
Well, they have to gather the evidence first, and then they get a warrant for the arrest. But even then, they have at least the ability to contact a lawyer, and these people don't have that.
Yeah, I don't know about that specific part whatsoever. I haven't heard that, but I'm not, like, discrediting you. I'm just saying I haven't personally heard that. But, I mean, again, like, a lot of it is just the fact that we need to fix the criminal justice system when it comes to that kind of thing. Not that it's specifically Democrats' fault and they're purposefully driving these people and treating these people the way they are. So, yeah. No, I will say, I think... Go ahead.
I was going to say, go ahead. I want to hear your rightist point of view. I was not expecting that.
Yeah. I think this committee is super, super blown out of proportion. I think this committee is a ploy by the left to try to rile up more controversy and hatred in order to keep their voting base on their feet so that they can win the primaries. I think the whole purpose of this committee is not done in good faith. I think what should happen is that these people should be treated like criminals. Breaking into a state building and creating a disruption that you did with violent threats is a criminal offense. And it should be handled by the Department of Justice. And it should have the book closed on it. Call it a day. Let them have good, fair trial, so on and so forth. It should not be a committee that's nationally televised on MSNBC. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I feel about it. I think it is such a ploy to just rile up more anger.
Uh-huh. Now, what was your actual opinion about the January 6th, the events of January 6th? Like, what were your actual feelings?
I mean, when that first happened, I kind of laughed at it because I was like, damn, I mean, like these people really honestly believe that Trump won. And like, again, my point of view, I know that there are a lot of people out there that still believe that Trump won, and they still believe that there's going to be a magical audit that comes in a month that kicks Joe Biden out of office. But like in that moment, seeing that, I was like, dude, get out of here. Every single person that I know living in the state and not in the state, just about every person that I'm friends with and I know told me that they would never vote for Trump again. And like a lot of them voted for Trump in the first place. So I know that he's lost supporters. I know that there's a lot of people not wanting to vote for him because, in my opinion, he was unfit to be a symbol of American society. And, you know, like I thought it was absolutely ridiculous and funny. You know, but like, I think that, you know, breaking into the Capitol building is an offense. It's a criminal offense, especially when you have crowds of people chanting and screaming that they plan on hanging Mike Pence, and they get within 40 feet of government officials that are fleeing for their life. I think, you know, that's a criminal offense. There's a difference between a peaceful protest and a criminal offense. Again, not everyone there on January 6th was doing that. A lot of people were not doing that, not breaking in. They were standing on the steps of the Capitol building chanting. But the people that were in the building actively threatening not just the police officers, but government officials, yeah, you committed a crime. And like, you deserve to get thrown in jail. I don't think you deserve life in prison and to have your rights excluded from you, but like, you deserve to be put in jail. So that's how I feel about it.
I mean, it's a fair point as far as, you know, if you actually were stupid enough, if you actually had to use violence to get into the Capitol, but there's videos of cops just letting people walk into the Capitol. So I feel like there's a lot of things that we don't know about. And I low key think that if with those video footages of cops just letting these protesters just walk in without any resistance, I kind of believe they may have gotten a wink from someone higher up. I really do. There's no
Yeah.
way. There's no way that you're just able to walk into the Capitol in the middle of certifying an election result.
Nope, I
Whether
agree.
or not you agree that should have been certified is a completely different story. But the fact of the matter is, like, there's also evidence that cops just let them walk in. There was no violence needed. And I think there's been some people that I've listened to on YouTube that were like, yeah, we were confused that they're just letting us walk in, but we just walked in and just kind of checked it out, you know? They're just acting like tourists at that point. And that's what I hope this commission doesn't turn into. Like, they act if they if there's any sense of good faith in that commission, it would be this. Like, go after the people that committed like legit violence and not the people who were just kind of confused by the situation, just saw the cops, let them walk in. It's okay if you want to question them, but don't charge them. It's like, what can you do at that point, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like it's not any different than like I think when a lot of the racial protests were happening, that the people burning down buildings should be identified and arrested for arson. You know, like the people who are at these protests creating violence and chaos and harming other people around them, they should have a conviction, you know? Same with January 6th. If you broke a window to get into the Capitol building, and you potentially assaulted a police officer or made threats against the lives of other humans while you were there. Yeah, dude, you deserve to get thrown in jail. It is what it is. It goes both ways. It's not a partisan thing. If you commit a crime, you deserve to go to jail. It is what it is. So, yeah, like, again, as someone on the left, like, I don't think I really mentioned this, but like, ideologically, I'm pretty much a socialist. I really believe that, like, we could make socialism work in this country, but that doesn't mean that I'm like beyond reason, you know? Like,
Well,
I.
I've been trying to make you listen to Bill Maher, and according to you,
Oh,
like
dude, I love Bill Maher.
I was
Bill
gonna
Maher's
say
great.
I was going to say, according to you, Bill Maher is making you kind of turn a little bit more of a moderate Democrat again.
Well, yeah, no, it's like when I say ideologically, I agree with more socialist values. It's like, dude, we already have socialism implemented throughout this country. Like, we don't have competition for collecting waste. We don't really have competition for energy companies. We don't really have competition for water distribution. So, like, there are things in this country that are implemented in order to give people a fair, livable life, you know? And I think there are more parts of this country where we could do that. So, like, I know that being on the left, some of my ideas might be construed as like radical. But when it comes down to it and implementing policies and getting things done, the right is so much better at it. And being the middle road conservative Democrat, you're going to get so much more accomplished being like that, you know?
Well, obviously, I'm the polar opposite when it comes to socialism, but we both know that. We don't have to get to that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm definitely would say society would be better off. Actually, I don't think it would do us any harm to have a little bit of competition. It would create innovation, especially with waste management, to find new renewable ways to where we don't have to dump all of our trash, for example, in the oceans. But again, totally different conversation, but
Yeah. Did you ever see the episode of Seinfeld when Kramer meets someone and he's like, "Oh, this guy's great," and they become friends? And then the guy starts telling him about like Marxism and socialism. Do you ever see that?
I want to say I have.
It was hilarious because he's like, "I love this guy. He's awesome. He like does all these things. He like rides bikes with me." And then he finds that he's a socialist. He's like, "Oh no, get out of here! Get out of here, you
Oh, I remember
witch!"
that. Yeah, I remember
He's
that
like,
episode now.
"Just listen. It's not that bad." Yeah, that's kind of us.
Get out of here, Matt. This episode is done, guys. Screw socialism. No, I'm just kidding. What's we call it? Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to January 6th, I think you and I can find common ground and say like how the response towards this has been overblown at the very
Yeah,
least.
it has. Don't pay attention to it. Turn it off, guys. Don't put it on Fox News.
Or
Just don't
CNN.
CNN or anything else. Like just turn it off. Okay, it's too much.
It's a little, obviously, let's take things with a grain of salt when you read these headlines, if anything, whatchamacallit. But yeah, Matt, do you have anything to add before we close this out?
No, turn the news off. Go enjoy the Olympics. They're only here once every 4 years. Go watch some Rays baseball. Rays up. Go Rays, man. About to be American League leaders. Let's do it.
Well, I would say support the Giants, San Francisco Giants. I know conservatives. I know I support a com the communist Californian San Francisco Giants, but they are my team. All right, they have the best record in the National League. So screw the Rays. No offense, Matt, but go Giants.
Is
So
sports gambling legal in Texas?
I think it is.
You should put some money down for me on a Rays Giants World Series.
Oh man, we'll have that conversation off record. I don't want
I mean, yeah, nope. Ken, that'd be a bet that you should make on your own.
Yep, exactly. Yep, off record. Anyways, guys, thank you for tuning in, and until Sunday, we'll see you next time.
See you guys. Thank you for letting me on, Kenny.
No problem.